This week on Barbell Shrugged, we're going to go Sweden swimming. No, women's...
Vinterbug. Vinterbug and Swedish bomber.
This week on Barbell Shrugged, we're going to go through the five keys of success and review... I don't know what you're...
Never mind.
No, let me do it. But just tell me. I want to hear you say it.
This week on Barbell Shrugged, we're going to review... No, review
See?
Sounds
yeah.
stupid.
Pressure!
I'll do it real quick. And then you can do it afterwards.
Okay.
3, 2, 1. This week on Barbell Shrugged, we interview Christmas Abbott, and we talk about her five keys. Her five keys. You can step in cool. if you want.
This week on Barbell Shrugged, we're going to review my top five keys to success.
And my is Christmas Abbott.
Boom.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Chris. This week on Barbell Shrugged, it's not your typical episode, baby. Get on over to barbellshrugged.com, cue up the video version, get your friends over, make some food, turn on the HDTV, and enjoy the show.
Hey, this is Rich Froning. You're listening to Barbell Shrugged. For the video version, go to barbellshrugged.com.
Welcome to Barbell Shrugged. I'm Mike Bledsoe. I'm here with Doug Larson, Chris Moore, and Christmas Abbott.
What's up?
Merry Christmas. So last year we brought Christmas Abbott on the show and for Christmas, and we said we have to do this again.
How long? Was that only a year ago?
It was
Not
a year
even.
Ago.
Yeah.
And,
Not even a year ago.
It was a year ago, and we said we have to do it again next year, but we got to take it to the next level. How are we going to do that? And we...
what is next level beyond Chris being in Christmas's bed?
And under me, and Chris being under my tree.
Shirtless. That's right.
Shirtless over there.
Sexy under that tree. What episode was that? 90-something?
What's a better gift?
96, I think. That's right.
What's a better gift?
CTP
yeah.
was saying...
Yeah, it was 96.
96.
So be said, I can't believe I'm in Christmas's bed. I can't believe I'm shirtless in Christmas's living room. This is embarrassing.
we should all go to Sweden, is what we thought. So we did.
The moment came to you in June or July? July, we were in California. He's like, we're out screwing around like, you know what would be great? What? If we got Christmas to come to Sweden with us. or you know, something elaborate. We go, oh man, that can never happen. And now look where we are. It became true.
I don't know why you doubted that.
All you gotta do is ask.
Yeah, he was like, "Do you want to go to Sweden?" Yes.
We did it together. We triumphed.
Part of the deal was we wanted to come to Sweden to hang out with Aleko as well, which we worked that one out too, and that was a lot of fun. So we kind of wrapped it all up into 1 week, which was a huge blast.
It's been intense.
A killer week.
But this is a life changing trip, I'd say.
So Christmas, can you tell us about the last year? What's happened in the last year? Because I know you've gone
every year.
A lot
it's like a whirlwind. Every year gets better and better, and it's so exciting and terrifying at the same time. You don't want the next year to be not as good as this year, but this year is definitely
that
proven.
Would be terrifying.
That would
you
suck.
Woke up and you go, what happened this year?
Yeah, we might be all fatigued. We don't want to slow down. Like
yeah.
slowing down is not what we want at this point.
You got to keep the momentum going. So this year has definitely been about momentum. I think really it's been about building blocks. You know, just strengthening the foundation of the things that I'm working on. A couple big things. One, I got engaged.
Congratulations.
He locked it
Very
up.
Cool.
Josh, you did good, man.
I was wondering when that was going to happen. And then one day I saw it pop up on
Dude, everybody kept asking us. I was like, get out of my face.
Yeah.
They're like, so when are you getting engaged? I'm like, not really my choice. Like,
well, I'm not going to ask.
Yeah. Duh. So that's been exciting. No wedding plans, no wedding date. We're just going to coast for a while and enjoy it in case anybody started asking questions.
Yeah,
you know, I don't want a traditional wedding.
We were gonna do it.
It gives me anxiety.
Aren't you gonna have a bearded maniac maybe deliver the vows?
Yeah,
for you?
we're discussing some options of
some
coming back
Viking
and
looking
some touring Europe and having somebody
wink wink.
We're thinking on top of a mountain in Europe, so it's yeah. gotten that far.
It is, yeah. But it's like not traditional wedding. We just want to do our own thing and not worry about all that stress. Anyway, most people don't really care about that stuff.
Especially with guys like, don't tell me about Christmas getting married.
Yeah, they're like,
every dude just turned their TV off.
This show sucks.
This is the worst show ever.
It's over.
Other big
later on in the show, see Christmas in a bikini.
Stay tuned.
Oh my God. True story. Mm-hmm. Other big things, my nutrition seminar has been doing really, really well, which is the backbone to the nutrition book that should come out in the spring if I deliver on time.
You will.
Books are a lot. You know, you take everybody's questions
Who
and you make sure.
Who delivers books on time?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Gotta get extensions on that.
Yeah. But, you know, one of the big five publishing companies, HarperCollins, picked it up, and that was
sweet.
a huge, like, what?
Yeah, congratulations.
Is that like a surreal moment? Like, awesome. Wow, because you never thought you'd be Christmas Abbott author.
No,
right?
No, not at all. You know, it's kind of crazy because I was doing the nutrition seminars before the book came about, and that's really how the book came about. And I put together a proposal, went to New York, had 2 days of meetings with publishing companies. And those 2 days, we had 13 meetings.
That sounds legit.
And 4 of the top 5 were like combating for this book. And I'm like, this just got real.
You were telling me about that. Yeah. We were going to be in New York City at the same time. I was like, we should hook up. And yeah. You were like, well, I've got 13 meetings. And I was like, I will see you next time.
You're like, Jesus, that sounds terrible.
I mean, we basically could have hung out all year long if it wasn't for you being so busy and me being so busy. We've been in the same place consistently.
Oh, yeah, we've been in the same place plenty of times, but never saw each other. Yeah.
So that was really, really humbling and exciting to know that people were that interested in what little old me had to say about nutrition. And I put it out there. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a nutritionist. This has been a just built on my experience and trial and error and what's worked for me and what I've seen work for my athletes. And I could get into it and like really start preaching, but I get really, really excited about it when I talk about it.
I think maybe Doug probably knows more about this, but you could probably call yourself a nutritionist. I don't think there's any in the United States. I don't think there's any like,
what are the rules, Doug?
Like you can't. I think
in Europe they wouldn't allow it. But what do we get away with in the United States?
A degree is like you'd be a dietitian, but pretty much if you give nutrition advice, you could call yourself a nutritionist. Is that right?
I'm actually not 100% sure about calling yourself a nutritionist, like a clinical nutritionist. You would have to have something. I'm not sure
what kind of formal
nutrition advisor.
But being a sports nutritionist wouldn't be a hard thing. All you gotta do is get some type of a weekend certification, then you can call yourself a sports nutritionist. If I'm not totally off base there,
I feel like that's how we built all of our education.
Maybe I shouldn't have brought this up. Now we're just gonna get slammed by the internet.
Or
you
what
idiots,
do you?
It takes 4
just
years.
Just make up your own job title. Christmas Abbott.
Well, I don't know. Actually, I would love for someone to tweet at us and tell us like what is required to be called a nutritionist.
If
like,
you could break it all down. If someone could tell us.
Give us the guidelines.
Yeah.
That way we don't have to research it.
Yeah. We're curious, fans. Research. We're relying on you for our information.
Right. We're crowdsourcing.
We just did our part. Now you can pick up the rest.
But Chris, I would say people get confused sometimes. They figure you're just born into a tattooed, shredded body and that you haven't had to work for anything. I think you've accumulated so many lessons and you've worked really hard for what you've gotten. People don't realize what it's actually taken for you to be as lean and fit and experienced in training as you are and as good at lifting as you are. It's not like you just woke up and you were given this. You had to earn this. You were, for lack of a better term, quite normal, you know, for many years, and you worked hard over the last
I don't know,
18
she was ever
to now.
Definitely not normal.
Not normal, but
she was like, so far, this our other side of the spectrum at one point, that would be the...
Yeah.
You went from like... abnormal over here to abnormal.
Yeah,
it wasn't
yeah,
past
that was.
Normal.
And I tried to play in the normal realm for about a year, and I was like, "This is weird."
Yeah,
normal is weird. But thank you. Yeah, it's been pretty an incredible journey in my life. As I look back on it quite frequently, just to kind of remember where I came from and keep things in my appreciation and gratitude for life in check. And yeah, I was quote unquote normal, but really I was just a heavy smoker from early ages and drinking and drugs. And I just really did whatever I could put my face in.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, it was.
I only put my face in anything I want when I'm in Vegas for the rest of the time. I keep my face pretty clean.
So you try.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, it was a very slow process. And I've been on this journey for, I started working out and fitness really in 2004, 2005. And it's been going on since then. So it wasn't like I woke up and decided I was going to be a fitness superstar one day.
So it's taken about 10 years of just really hitting it hard.
Yeah.
Which is a classic.
At what point?
That's a general market. It shakes out about, if you had to break it down to an average.
10,000 hours.
Everybody in the crowd who wants what they want right fucking now. This is the rule. It could take a little longer. It could take a little less. But even Christmas had to put in 10 years
and
of
I
grinding.
Tell people, if you had started on that normal, that ground zero, as I call it, and then started doing what I was doing, you would have exceeded my timeline very quickly. I had to rebuild to ground zero because I had already done so much damage to my body and my psychological being before I got to ground zero, where I started to be able to run a mile without stopping within 10 minutes.
I want to note, too, you were like a big fat chick. You were just too skinny.
It was funny because I'd walk in and I'd be wearing shorts and a tank top or something like that, and you could just see what was going on in their brain, and they were like, "That girl needs to eat." I looked like I had an eating disorder, because you could see every bone in my chest. I just was really, really, almost malnutritioned.
Did you think that you were too skinny at the time?
I knew I was.
Oh, okay.
Which is funny because I was actively trying to gain weight, but I didn't know how to.
Did you do that with mostly Twinkies?
I think that just, during that time, I didn't realize that you had to stop drinking and eating and start eating food.
Right. I've heard
booze has calories.
I've heard
right?
some ladies,
and it's fine.
I've heard
some
beer.
Ladies that will remain nameless go, "Why does she get to party all the time and stay so lean?" I was like, "Well, the only calories she's consuming is alcohol." Mm-hmm. So it's like,
it's not great calories.
Alcohol and some powders here and there.
Which also are not food.
There's no calories in that powder.
Doesn't matter how much you want to eat it.
I did hear that was a good fat burner, though. You wrote an article for us that we posted on our barbellshrug.com.
Barbell Daily.
The Daily, about 3 weeks ago. Weeks ago.
When was that, Christmas?
It was about a month ago.
About a month or so ago, yeah.
But
and it kind of leverages off these lessons, I think, beautifully.
This is what's funny about the Daily, actually, is it's probably been 2 or 3 years since I stopped reading articles too much on the internet. It's like, man, it's hard for me to find like really good content. I'm just like, okay, I've read this about this before. I've read about this before. Not a lot of new information. This isn't that interesting. And so I just kind of stopped reading a lot of stuff. And Chris launched the Daily for us about mid-October, and I was like, oh, that's cool, that's gonna be really neat. And then like a week after it posted, I find myself reading articles on our own website because we have all these guest authors, but we're inviting people that we like. I'm like, I want to hear what Christmas has to say, mm-hmm. And I find myself actually reading articles again on our own site, which I find like really cool. But you wrote this article and you broke down what the five key habits.
Yeah. It was cool because Chris texted me. He was like, "Hey, this is like, I had this idea," and you guys had just launched the Daily, and he was like kind of telling me about it in very obscure but exciting ways.
This is what I do. I get excited about something. Doug will say this is true.
All his ideas start up.
I get excited. Yeah. The inner ADD kid starts ramping up, and I don't make sense for a while. It's I gotta get some words off. I go, okay. Forget that.
It takes about 3
Here's
years
what I want.
Before it starts making sense.
3 years sometimes. Yeah, sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. But this is a great example of, we recognize that Christmas has these awesome habits, and we've seen it shake out in your life. And that, I guess the first one is
now
like,
I have awesome habits. I didn't have awesome habits before.
Well, you had to learn. I mean, no one's born with awesome habits.
By the way,
habits.
Don't go drinking and doing drugs. Well, it doesn't
genius.
Make you awesome.
Well, this goes back to the whole 10-year thing. Is you didn't like... You didn't wake up 10 years ago and go, oh, these are the five habits I need to start right now. It's like these are habits that you refined over this 10-year period.
I didn't even know I was implementing these. And it's funny to look back, even when I started to make those major changes, I was implementing all of these. And it's cool to see that I was practicing it before I knew I was supposed to be practicing it. But I had to practice it in order to make positive changes in my life.
Yeah.
And it just was a natural progression and then an awareness.
I think the number one thing people can, the first point is the first one, to break it down.
The first habit is set big goals, then break them down.
I think that a lot of people forget that they have to have smaller goals to get to that larger goal. They're like, oh, I just want to do 10 million things. And they don't know how to connect the dots. Mm. And if you work backwards, it helps you connect the dots a lot easier.
And don't you think, like, let's say back 10 years ago, if you would have said, I have a dream of becoming this person who's a NASCAR pit crew, like one of the first females do that, maybe the first. Were you the first NASCAR?
On the cup level.
On the cup level.
To be on a pit team, yeah.
The competitions you've done and writing a book. If you would have laid out a big goal, like, and held yourself like, I'm going to be this person now, like forcing it, trying to make it happen, all the lessons wouldn't have fell into place. They have to come one after another in small chunks to lead you to where you need to go, right?
The experience of the journey is what really gives you the lessons.
Shapes you.
Yeah, and I think that it helps you retain integrity and gratitude for life. And it's, you know, when I say gratitude for life, I mean like being thankful right here. We are in Sweden. This is our you know, like this is our thing now. And we have to give thanks for where we are in our life and not take it for granted and get into that mindset of I'm motherfucking Christmas Abbott.
You can say that. You like that Abbott. I'm motherfucking Christmas Abbott.
But that's appropriate for certain times and not walking around, you know, like just being one thing for all of the fans.
Definitely
like I could go
for the Christmas special. Just want to point that out.
So I think the experience helps shape the goals. And appreciation when they happen.
So you have an example about how you've done that? Like set a big goal and then you broke it down and you kind of built the whole process with the end in mind and then how you actually made it to that goal?
You know, one of the smaller goals was initially the nutrition seminar. Mm-hmm. And I get 8 out of 10 emails that I get are always asking me about my diet and my nutrition and what do I do and how do I train. But mostly instead of the performance aspect, it's the nutrition aspect. So I was like, I'm just sitting on the couch one day. Me and Josh were kicking it and I was like, you know, gosh, I'm you know, no offense, but I'm tired of responding to like these very detailed emails.
Right.
And
same question over and over and over again.
To convey this.
Number one. If you want to ask a good question, break it up into paragraphs at least. We've been having this conversation. Is the worst.
Oh my gosh.
The worst email is when it's all text, very little punctuation, no breaks.
Is on.
It'll come through on Facebook. That's usually how it comes through.
Yeah.
Facebook. It's just text, and it is. Literally very fatiguing.
I feel really
like,
bad.
Is this person 7 years old?
You get like 3 lines and you're like, please.
I feel really bad because as soon as I start reading those, I just have an internal like anxiety attack and I'm like, nope, I can't read it.
So if you start the email,
it's not that we don't want to read them or we don't want to respond. It is literally too hard to read.
It's hard.
There are grammatical rules in this world for a reason.
It doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be sectioned.
Let's give a pro tip to the audience.
That's a very basic level rule.
If you're writing your email and the first sentence you write is, sorry if this comes off really long and rambling, but .. you know that it was rambling. Cut it down 80% and we'll answer it. We swear we'll answer it.
Yeah, you gotta find something in the middle. Like either like get long multiple pages of text telling me your whole life story.
Yeah.
And there's almost no question in it and I get to the end and I wonder what
Where
they
was
want.
The question?
Do you feel better about what you've said to me?
Or the opposite. I get emails and There's not even their name included. It just says, it doesn't say, hey Doug, enjoy the show. I have these specific questions. I would love some help, which I'm happy to help people to ask me questions like that. But it'll just say, what should I eat? That's it.
Meat, veggies, some whatever.
I don't know. Like,
How do I get strong, like, Doug? Question mark. Shit, man.
I got lots of questions that. They're
so
super general.
Just quick clarifying point. If you want answers, questions answered, is quick context, little bit about your background, no more than one paragraph, and that paragraph should not be more than 4 sentences.
This is very specific.
And then your questions should be bullet points. And I like them numbered because I can go, 1, this is the answer to that. 2, that's the answer to that. If you do that, 10 times more likely to get your question answered.
It's like briefly.
And highlighted, probably on the show. Hey, we really enjoyed this
most
question.
Most definitely. Yeah. All right, so back to you.
So I kept getting emails and I'm sitting there and I was like, you know, like, I wonder if somebody would, you know, we were just talking and it just formulated of having this seminar. And I was like, Who's going to come to my fucking seminar? I keep saying the F-bomb.
It's okay.
Okay.
It's what we fully expected
Merry
on the Barbell
Christmas.
Shrug Show.
Merry fucking Christmas, everybody.
There's a little bit of a... anyway, so it was like, that's kind of crazy. It blew my mind. I was like, no, no, no. And then from thinking about this is the ultimate goal, I started thinking about, well, in order to do that, I need to know if it's one day, 2 days. I started structuring it. And I started structuring it on what information do I want to give out there? Like, what's the core concept? And then working backwards. And that's really how I already had it all in my brain. So I just started putting it on paper and then rearranging it and refining it.
You broke it down.
I broke it down. And, you know, it wasn't like I decided to do this all one day. I'd go in and lock myself in a coffee shop and I'd say, okay, I'm going to give myself 2 hours. This is like today I'm only going to work on these categories. I'm not going to work on anything else.
Focus. And,
yeah.
Set big goals.
It's awesome. Blocking.
And then you set smaller goals to get there, and then you AMRAP your work.
I AMRAP my work. And then within the first few, you know, and it's funny because once you start working, you realize what else you need. And so I would just make a list of other items that I needed. I wouldn't go and start working on that. So I made
a
list.
That's a key point if someone was not listening just now. Can you say that again?
During my work, and
thanks,
I realized I needed something else done, an additional piece, I would write it down and list it versus go and start on it. And because I'll go back and forth and then I get no work done. So I was like, no, this is my focus. My focus is this specific category. Mm. Within this category, I need a list of foods. And I would just write down list of foods for maintainer category.
Is that the number one mistake people make?
And
that?
It helped. Yeah. Bring it all together. And I literally, within that seminar, I actually wrote the book that I got picked up on. Mm-hmm. And so it's so cool because big goal, little goals that actually came to back around to even a larger goal.
So
and
you
I didn't even
out
know
that
it.
Seminar and you already had like the outline.
Had the outline.
So you just had like, oh, this will be the chapter of this book. That.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's such a great way to write a book. Just to get constant feedback from people in the real world from your seminar and then just build it all into a book. It's the questions that you're getting in your seminar that people want answered in the book anyway.
Yes.
And it helps you make a book that people actually will read.
Right.
Because it's actually the content that they want because they've been asking for it during your seminars. It's this nice little system that builds a book that is easy to consume because it's very practical.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
how can you apply this to training?
To training? Oh, man, I love it. So you know, what's your big fat goal, right? Is they're like, I want to go compete at regionals. Maybe that's their big fat goal. Cool. I find that people don't want to do a competition until they're ready. There's no time you're ever going to be ready. Mm-hmm. The first time you're ready is after you, if you're ever ready, then I'm not sure what competition you're doing, especially with weightlifting as well. Mm-hmm. They say, I tell people, I'm like, whether you're ready or not, you need to go have the experience because you may have the physical ability to it, but the mental capacity is very different. Mm. And, you know, it takes a lot out of you emotionally and mentally during a competition. You don't know how your body's going to respond. It's different than training in the gym.
You grow out of that.
So you do.
Rapidly.
And it's experience. So you may not have your muscle ups. You may not have your bar muscle ups or pistols, but you need to go do a competition and stop doing scaled. I don't care. If you
the scale
aren't able to
do,
I mean, I get it.
Is
I
what
get
you're
it. Yeah. But always, you know, deferring to scale, be like, oh, since I can't do one thing, I'm going to do scaled. I'm like, bitch, you clean and jerk 185 pounds. You are not scaled division.
Should people be scared of what they look like in those situations? Like,
not at all.
They should be scaling training, but not competition.
Exactly.
Just to clarify.
Exactly.
Because they're scared that they'll try the muscle up and that. They had that moment like in grade school, like the dream where you wake up in school and everybody's laughing at you. They'll think that they'll be on the platform and everybody go, look at this jerk who can't do 10 muscle-ups in a row. But that never happens. People understand that there's weaknesses. In fact, if you struggle and fight through it in a competition, people will love you more for it.
And I would say 19 out of 20 people doing the competition are having some sort of frustration. They're not hiding from that one element that they
have to do. Including you, right? You have frustrations in competitions.
Oh, man. I got forced into it. I literally got forced into it. And there was things that I couldn't do. And I was certain that I would be the last to finish. And I ended up placing fifth. You don't always have that success story. But the experience of the competition builds your confidence, even if you're not able to do all of the elements, all of the movements in the competition.
Somebody has to be last. Why can't it be you?
Go get him, Tiger.
You're not going in it to win it. You're going in it to the experience in order to be able to, at a later date, go into it and win it.
Yeah, I like to tell people you need to practice competing as much as practice anything else.
And you have to be a good loser.
Give yourself permission to suck.
Don't suck at losing.
Yeah, I find people aren't ready to compete for their first time until they're competing for the third time. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, until you're on your third round of something, you're not comfortable with it. You're not used to the setting. You're not used to the pressure. You're not used to people looking at
you. Exactly.
And then once you've done it two or three times poorly, you can be ready by the third time to do it for the first time.
And maybe then set expectations for how the meet goes, you know? Like maybe then, three or four times then, say.
You have no idea how to approach anything until you've done it many times. I think it was, I started competing in weightlifting maybe 2006. And it wasn't until, I think it was 2012, where I felt like, it wasn't until 2012 that I hit like a legit PR on the platform.
Yeah, I've yet to have that.
I hit a lot of PRs, you know, in training, obviously, but then it wasn't until I was on the platform, I was like, oh, I feel more comfortable on stage, and that's, I can actually use that to my advantage, but it took 6 years of competing before that could happen, so...
Yeah, I've been weightlifting for a couple of years, and, you know, you go, it's different. Even at the smaller meets, and you go up to, I remember nationals, I walked up to the bar, first snatch, and I looked down, and my hands are shaking. Yeah. I didn't even know my hands were shaking.
And you've been competing for years.
I love a stage.
Weightlifting, NASCAR, you'd been competing.
Yeah.
And you were still nervous.
I was still nervous.
That's a big stage.
It's a big stage, and I got done, and there was so much momentum because of the adrenaline, and I was like, I could have totally bailed on that. Mm-hmm. You know, it could have crushed me. And a lot of people find that they either do better in competition or they crumble in competition. Mm-hmm. And just because you crumble the first time doesn't mean that you should stop competing. It's just that
it means you need to build the skill.
Yeah, build the skill, and competing is a skill. So if you expect to be able to get everything you want physically out of your performance and then say, now I'm going to go win the regionals or now I'm going to go win this competition, you are sadly mistaken because you have taken a skill component out.
And just to give like a little bit of, like, so people can kind of like understand how it might be different for me when I'm weightlifting in the gym, I can remember every snatch. I can remember how it felt. I can like break it down, you know, fractional second by fractional second. But to this day, when I compete on a platform, I don't remember anything.
Yeah.
It's like everything is just gone.
Mm-hmm. And we so have to like, go into a flow
it's
state.
It's like a whole nother experience. And if you're not used to that, like just not being in, like just kind of going out, then that's just to give you a little bit of context of like how different it really is.
Yeah.
Like it's a completely different animal.
I love the fact you said how you get shaky hands up there and how I think people need to embrace the situations that cause them to be scared and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And like, if you feel yourself being put in an awkward position and you feel yourself having to rise up to tackle something like that, you're probably in a good space. Push forward. Something good will come out of this.
Yeah. And I mean, it's the whole, you know, fight or flight concept. And fighting in this situation is just keep going forward. Mm-hmm. You have to fight to not retreat.
Yeah.
And you know,
that's you progress.
Been a lot of my life.
If you do that in competition, you're gonna be able to do that in other aspects of your life, because there's not many things scarier than competition from what I've experienced. Yeah.
Because you think that everybody's looking at you and you're messing up, and you know, it's nobody really is looking at
nobody
you
cares.
For the most part.
No, that's
and if you mess up, nobody cares either.
All us primates feel the same. We get put in uncomfortable situations. Like Christmas feels fear. She feels worried that, can I really pull off the book? Are people really going to pay to hear what I have to say about nutrition? It's a common element between us, isn't it? You just got to push through that.
And I still have freakouts. I'm like, what am I getting into?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Can I do this? Is this fucking crazy? I don't know.
Yeah, I know that one. We already actually went right through point number two.
That's right.
We just flowed.
That's how natural it is.
That's how good you are writing. It's like, this is a natural progression of thought stream. So point number two was always try new things.
Mm-hmm.
And we just kind of rolled right into that.
I love it.
Yeah, so we'll skip right over to point number three was do good without expectation.
Oh, well, I want to go back to point number two just for 1 second.
Sure.
When I say try new things, I'm going, and I've said this many, many times before, the things that I have loved the most have been the things that I absolutely did not want to try. They were terrifying. I was angry about having to try, you know, the polar bear plunge, changing tires. You know, I was terrified about weightlifting. I was terrified about trying CrossFit, but it intrigued me enough to want to try it. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite pastimes is snowshoeing. I was furious. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
I know that.
I get to know you better, Chris. By the way, we need to go snowshoeing.
It's so fun. I love it. You know, go to the top, have a little fire, little lunch. Check back down.
You've got me convinced.
See, I was angry because I don't like to be cold.
I'm not convinced. Still doesn't sound cool.
She had me at lunch.
It didn't sound cool, but and I'm like going up to the top of the mountain, you know, just angry about it. And I'm like, this is going to be the worst day of my life. As soon as we started going, you know, like within 2 minutes of snowshoeing, once we got on the snow, I was like, this is amazing. And I was angry at myself for not giving myself an opportunity to try something new and ultimately amaze myself. And now I have this favorite pastime. And so ultimately, just try new things. Even if you don't want to, even if you have no interest whatsoever, you'll be surprised at what you're interested in.
And next week is New Year's Day.
Boom.
What better time to say, okay, I'm going to try new things?
Polar bear plunge.
Yes.
That was new.
I used to follow this little mantra of
Vinterbach.
Do it anyway. I was at a nutrition seminar like 15 years ago, like one of the first nutrition seminars I ever went to, and this woman was saying that when she was brought up, her father had this little thing that he would say to her all the time, no matter what it was just do it anyway.
Yeah.
And it's as stupid as that sounds, and as basic and easy as that sounds, it actually did really, really well for me. I was like, well, there's no reason to do this thing. There's no reason to go snowshoeing. There's no reason to try a CrossFit competition or whatever. But fuck it. Just do it anyway. Just try something new just to try something new with no expectation.
And it doesn't have to be anything huge. You know, it could be trying the hot yoga class versus flow or a flow and restore class. It doesn't have to be anything major. It can be something much, much smaller, but you're still expanding your toolbox of...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do it just because you've never done it.
Yeah.
That's why you should do it. That's the reason.
Boom.
If you've never done it before.
Thought delivered.
I like that.
You know what that does? If you start doing that shit, you get this sense of like, there's other things I think I could do that used to seem crazy as shit, and now I think maybe I could do them. Still scary. Still overwhelmingly scary. Mm-hmm. But what if I just do that anyway? And pretty soon you're like, you just get this habit of like, what's the next thing I could do that's awesome? What about that? And you're kind of jumping and leapfrogging up, and before you know it, you're writing a book and you're on a podcast with the most handsome man you've ever seen in your life.
I'd like to point out some people are more apt to try new things constantly, and other people aren't. And so like if you're one of those people who are like never want to try something new,
recruit a buddy.
Pair up with someone. Is that what you're about to say?
No, I wasn't gonna say that. But go ahead.
That's how I've done a whole lot of really fun things in my life. Is I pair up with a bunch of people who are super proactive and like to try new shit, like Mike and Chris and Chris, and they kind of just pull me along for the ride.
Yeah, he said it many times. He's like, hey, thanks for making me do that.
Yeah,
because he'll be like, I don't think this is a good idea. Sounds dangerous.
To be fair, 9 out of 10 times I go, I told you that was a bad idea.
We do a
which
lot.
Which
of,
isn't true. I'm just joking.
Hey, we're still alive. We got all of our fingers and toes. You know,
although, so. Doug, I almost did get hit by a tram out there.
I was hit by a tram yesterday, too.
That's right.
We all did.
We all almost died.
I just That's wanted right. to make
That's
sure that people understood.
I was following you yesterday, and I wasn't too sure about it, and then I almost got hit by a train. it's a metaphor for a lot of things in my life.
But you
anyway.
Didn't get hit by a train.
But I didn't. That's true.
You just thought you almost did. I beam on him once, too. But he still has his foot.
That's true as well.
number 3, do good without expectation. What does that mean?
Dude, this is so cool. My friend Greg Lucas, the CrossFit Traveler, he has these shirts that just say, be awesome. And I was talking to him one day, and you know, I've always been I have a really life motto that it's like, don't be a D. Don't be a dick.
hey, bro.
D mean? Yeah.
Whatever you want it to be.
You're filling a lot of words there. I like it. I like it a lot.
You can also say
I like to say D just because it's filling whatever
it
blank you want.
I like it.
It could be douchebag. It could be dick. Could be anything.
And now the fans are going to write all the D words.
Do it.
Perfect.
Let's see how creative the fans can get.
Tweet a bunch of D words at Christmas.
Yeah.
Send her a picture of your D.
No,
whatever your D happens to be.
Oh, God.
What is your D? A really motivational Instagram pic.
We are going to bring the internet.
She loves D pics.
Make sure to tag her fiance.
Yeah.
Josh will love it.
Everybody's like, no.
Josh is going to get enraged really quick.
But I was sitting, you know, we were sitting there talking, and he's just like, just be good. He's like, don't do good with the intention that it's going to come back to you.
Oh, yeah. That happens a lot. People are like, well, why would
Well, people
I do that?
Can tell.
Right.
Just immediately.
Right. Yeah. Or just like paint the whole concept of paying it forward. He's like, don't pay it forward. Just pay it. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, just
That's gangster, man.
Do good without ever thinking that life is going to give good back to you, because it most likely won't. You're going to have to carve that out for yourself. But if you are good to people without expectation, they're going to hopefully be good to other people, and just creating this higher level of just being good people. I know it sounds so obscure and left field, but it really is kind of cool to just put good out there and being like, nope, I'm just going to let it go and let it run its course. And it's pretty cool.
I say reciprocation is a very powerful
not expecting
governing
reciprocation, though.
Huh?
I mean, things will reciprocate whether you expect it or not.
Yeah. I mean, if you put all your focus on the giving, like,
but if
what can
you
contribute?
Expect it, you're never like, when is this going to come back to me?
Like, people will ask you, like, Christmas, like, what do I, here's all the things I love, and here's what I want to do, I don't know what to do. Like, how can I, like, move forward? And whatever the question may be, wouldn't you just start with this by saying, what are you uniquely qualified to give? Like, what is the thing that you could give? Like, what about your background? What skill sets? What things are you interested in right now that could help somebody? If you just pour yourself into that, man, you'd be fucking amazed at what comes out the other end, right?
I think people who love fitness too, they love health and fitness. They go, I want to do something in that. Like, and they're like, oh, but I don't know much about this or this.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, are you good at web design? Are you good at, like, there's like all these things. Like, what do you do for work that you love doing that's not exactly health and fitness? And you could probably get involved with somebody else who does know something. Like, you could probably use people on your team that would, you know, having a good web designer would be fantastic, right? Mm-hmm. And you may already have that, but like that, I'm just using that as an example. A lot of times people get caught up and, you know, they can't do exactly what they see other people doing. Mm-hmm. So they're like, oh,
you
don't
want
to do
it.
You
guys hit it on the nail on the head, is that they don't recognize their own strengths,
right?
Because they don't look and reflect upon what they are good at and what they, you know, what you love may not be what you're good at, but you're going to eventually be good at it if you keep at it. But I think that it's people don't reflect on their strengths versus their weaknesses with that is exceptional to them.
Right.
And that usually is the gift that they can give other people.
Well, there's an Oscar Wilde.
I think a lot of time, with respect to what you were just saying, people ask the wrong question. If someone wants to come into the fitness industry and be a coach, for example, they might ask, am I an expert? Am I the best?
Right.
You know, it's kind of like the competition thing. Am I already the best? And if I'm not already the best, then I don't want to compete. It's the same thing with becoming a coach. A lot of people think, well, I couldn't be a coach because I'm not the best already, as if anyone that started coaching was the best when they started. Instead,
I was terrible in the beginning.
We all were. So what people should be
all
asking,
cringe, man. We all
what people
cringe.
Should be asking instead isn't, am I the best? Am I the best nutritionist? Am I the best coach? Am I the best weightlifter? That's not what they should ask. If they want to become a coach, they should ask, do I have the ability to help people who are a level below me?
Right.
That's what they should be asking.
Ooh, yeah.
And if you have the ability to help somebody, then you should be a coach and you'll get better over time.
Even then, how do I get that ability? Because ultimately, right now, we're talking about that higher goal and then working backwards, right? Mm-hmm. They want to be a coach, but now they're just an athlete that maybe isn't a very good athlete, right? You don't have to be a really good athlete to be a good coach. Mm-hmm. So how
By
do
the
they
way,
just kind of start
high-level
taking?
Athletes,
no,
a lot of times don't make the best.
No, they're like just do it. Overhead squat pistol. Just do it.
Why can't you know? Just do it?
Just do it. I can't tell you how many times I've heard. I'm like, what do you mean, just do it?
This is not
usually
Nike.
Awkward movers are better coaches because they have to break it down.
They had to break it
they
down.
They had to learn how to do it at some point.
Right. And very practical application. But ultimately, you want to be a coach. Mm. Well, what do? You try and teach a class and you realize, oh gosh, this is difficult. How do I start developing this skill? Mm-hmm. Going to weekend seminars or online education, those things will help develop those skills. And like what you said, then you start teaching somebody that's below you or less experienced or even better experienced and get feedback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you want to be shadowing other coaches and getting their feedback when they watch you coach their class, but they're there as a mentor is one of the best ways to get good very quickly.
That's another thing that's shocking to me is people go, they're like, how do I get started? You know, and they just want to like start their own thing and start coaching. I'm like, well, when I started with CrossFit, like there were no other CrossFitters in town. And that's why we opened up a box. and we kind of had to like fumble through everything. But that's usually not the case now. There's like 10 boxes. Like, I don't like those guys or something like that. It's like, go intern for those guys. You'll probably end up liking
them. If you want to do it, you'll find a way to be able to just insert yourself into the community at some capacity. My friend Megan, she had no coaching experience. She was not a good athlete. And she was like, I don't know what I want to do. I just want to learn and take in some information. And from there, she started developing her skill. And she actually, she works for HQ now. She was working for Reebok. And that was within 2 years of coming to me and just being like, I don't know. What do I do? I'm like, the first thing you do is you just come tag along with boot camp. Mm-hmm. And you know, she just drank the water. And she was very self-initiative to learn that. And she...
What did you put in the water? Anything fun?
Oh, yeah. Always.
Here, was just literally just drink this water.
No, not that water. This water.
But I said, the most important thing you do is just start. It doesn't matter how small it is. It doesn't matter. This is not going to be your destiny forever. You won't always be this little small thing. Just start and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to point number four. Woo. Actually, the last two are my favorites.
Yeah.
Number four is learn to put yourself first. Sometimes, but sometimes, but
I know
usually
it was
you
like,
put yourself
I was like,
most
man, somebody's
times.
Gonna take that really literally and just be like, either everybody, they're gonna be like, I'm always first.
Screw everybody, screw you, screw you, screw
F you. I'm first.
I'm out.
Christmas did.
Sometimes.
I love this because, and it's funny, we were talking about this earlier, and you were like, especially women need to say, hey, this is my
biggest
time.
Complaint. Guys tend to have a really easy time putting themselves first.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. Yeah.
And honestly,
guys
are
much more individual focused. Girls much more community focused.
Yeah,
usually.
They you know, and I'm probably going to get some backlash, but I think naturally we just want to take care of or please. And you guys are like, please me, take care of me.
Well,
I like when women please me.
Yeah, but Doug is right. Like, guys tend to be, you know, somebody with a masculine nature tend to be more individualized, and people with, and this isn't gender specific, but most of the time it is. So I want to kind of put that out there too, so that we don't get
Oh my God, I can only hear the typing now.
I say there's about 10%. 10% of women are a little more masculine. And 10% of men are a little more feminine.
I identify much more with
masculine.
The masculine.
I would say you're a little more masculine. And Chris here, people don't know this, but he's a little more feminine.
You know what? I will not for one second be embarrassed by that. I am proud of the fact that I have a lot of female tendencies in terms of like
feminine tendencies. That's right.
Yeah,
well,
feminine.
Female
like,
too.
People are like, what in the shit is Chris talking about? What I'm saying is I am personally fueled by that engagement and community and the sense that I want to do this because I want people to see what we're doing and enjoy it and join us for the ride. I don't really have, maybe sometimes it'd be fun to have more of the individual ego, but I love the fact that that's my perspective. I'm okay with that, you know.
You have more of a we collective mentality than someone who's very individual, agentic focus, where it's all about ego and me and what do I get out of this.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
So that's a good thing.
Yeah, and
it
I think
it tends to be a feminine quality. But it doesn't mean it's necessarily a good thing or a bad thing. It's just a thing, and that for you is your style, and it works very well.
Yeah, I'd say whatever the key thing is, I've had to learn that whatever you are, that whatever your natural tendency is, you have to just embrace that. If it's feminine, own it and use it to do good. And it doesn't matter really what you are, but the key thing, I think, is when you find somebody who is counter and complimentary to you, do more with them too. So that first action is so important. And then find somebody who can take that action with you who's complimentary to you. And now you can start to see how you can start sort of raising exponentially the power you can have and the good you can do, you know. That's what we've got here. We're all different personalities. We come together with to do some awesome shit, right?
And we're watching the sunrise over our Sweden.
Over Gothenburg.
So how do you put yourself first sometimes?
You know, you have to...
to the point.
Seriously, you really have to carve the time out. Or, you know, I, a lot of the times, and this is just kind of a general statement, but like in my nutrition seminars, women are like, well, I have to cook a dinner for my husband and I have to cook a, you know, separate meal for all three of my kids. And I'm like, why? Mm-hmm. She's like, well, they don't eat the same things. And then they're there because they want to better themselves. They want to find a way to eat for their life. And, you know, I'm like, first you have to have your community on board. You have to talk to your family and have them support you in this endeavor. So you're bringing them together. And that even is selfish. Mm-hmm. Saying, hey, look, I'm going to do this for me, and I need you guys to support me. And that may mean that you guys eat some meals that you don't want to. And then I kind of playful, I'm like, look, if you are cooking the meals, they're going to eat what you cook. So be selfish of like, this is my food. You can eat it, either eat it with me, or you can cook your own thing.
Yeah, this is leadership. This is leading your family. Your kids shouldn't lead the family when it comes to something as important as fucking nutrition.
And I tell people, I'm like, look, I don't have kids, but I've seen, you know, a lot of my friends, a lot of my family, and I've seen them work this aspect. Don't bring it in the house if you don't want to eat it. But, you know, otherwise, it's you being selfish for something that you need in your life or changes.
It's usually better for everybody else.
Yeah,
this is something I've noticed is anytime my wife is trying to get lean, guess who also gets lean? This guy. I'm not going to tell her not to get lean. Mm-hmm. And then second off, when it starts happening, I'm like, I'm just going to eat whatever's around. I might get a little hungry here and there, but I get like extra snacks or something. Mm-hmm. And then if she's eating for performance, I usually put on weight.
Even so it's beyond like food.
I'm letting her have that. But that's because we have that communication. The communication is very important.
I think a great example is like mothers who are in CrossFit. Like one of the big struggles is you have, let's say you get it going and get in shape and you have a family start. Like I think the first thing you will struggle with is like feeling like it's not right for you to take time for yourself to get back in shape or to go to the gym before you come home to the kids. People will give themselves too much to their kids. That's what you should do, right? Question mark. But then you realize that you can't be an optimized ass-kicking mother if you don't do the things you need to do for yourself first.
Absolutely.
So you can give more to your kids.
And you're setting a better example for your children. And this even transitions into relationships. You know, Josh and I are very good at like, hey, you go off with the boys and hang out because I'm going to go off with the girls and hang out. And if you get pouty about it, then you have to deal because I need my time. And we're very big on making sure that we have our own time to when we do come back to the relationship, we have more to contribute to it. And it's important because, you know, I'm very independent. I'm very driven. And he is too.
I wouldn't guess it.
But if I went into like this very codependent relationship and I wasn't selfish with my time, then I would be making like hurting the relationship and the overall being for what we're striving to do. So we are very big on like having our own time. You know, we come back together and have a good time. But if I'm like feeling a little bit grumpy or whatever, I'm like, you can go over there. I'm going to like have my corner.
I need
to work. I want to have me time, or I'm going to go off and shop and spend my money. And it's okay because ultimately it's making me feel better, and he's going to go off and do something that makes him feel better. And then we're going to come back and be able to be excited about seeing each other again.
You can share what you've been doing. You got something to talk about.
Bring something back that
you
both enjoy.
Yeah.
All right. Point number five, my favorite, purge the negativity from your life.
Purge the naked titty from your life.
I was like, this is gonna go.
I'm going to fitness festivals. TNA everywhere.
What's in the coffee?
Freud was right. Purge the negativity from your life.
Oh my gosh! Just stop saying I can't. Yes, you can. Maybe not today, but eventually. They're like, I can't do that. Well, of course you can't do that because you believe that you can't. Mm-hmm. Just say, I'm working on it. I'm a work in progress. You have to put it into a context that you are in the process of and that you will eventually. And stop taking that no. I mean, stop putting that no or that not into it. And that always like, you always like undercut yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, I hear this all the time, especially with people in the gym or with nutrition or just in life. They're like, oh, I can't do that. I'm like, look, if I was able to pull myself out of a ditch and get myself to ground zero and then build from there and be able to be where I am today, everybody can do something that is good for themselves. And it's just so frustrating to hear such a blanket of negativity around people that they just don't even know it's there. And they're just restricting themselves all the time in every single part of their life.
Yeah,
I get mad about it.
I know some high performance communities, say like a group of like Navy SEALs or something like that. And I'm not sure if they actually do this in Navy SEALs or not, but like high performance groups like that, in some settings, they won't tell you that instead of saying I can't, you have to say I can, mm-hmm. because that in some sense that is unrealistic, because not everything is possible today, even right. if you can get to it eventually. So instead, you'll be corrected, and it's almost against the rules to say I can't. You'll be corrected to say I won't instead of I can't.
Right.
Because you can do it. You're just choosing not to. And so right. you have to say I won't.
Yeah.
That way it really sinks in that you are making a choice right now to not do something. Not because it's not possible, but because you are actively choosing not to. And that's your own psychology. That's your own mm-hmm. Decision internally that you're not going to do something. And it's not because the world's holding you back. It's because you are holding you back.
Right.
You got to be careful what you say and what you pretend to be. And how you and the friends you surround yourself with, because these are the conditions that make you exactly what you are. Like, whatever you pretend to be is what you are. That mindset will limit you or allow you to push forward. That's the truth, man.
Yeah, I like what Doug was saying too. As a coach, I like to say, people go, oh, I can't do that. I go, oh, you're right. And then they go,
what? You're supposed to like say, no, come on, get it together.
Of what the coach is supposed to say, I go, yeah. you're right. And they're like, and then they're like, almost like, why? I was like, well, the fact that you believe that you can't means you can't.
Yeah.
And they go.
So a story's over.
And then it turns into this conversation, and then they hate me. But I rolled out. I don't do this. Very I roll out of bed, and 10 minutes later, I check out my Instagram every morning. And then my friend, So Wrong Fitness, you should follow him on Instagram, by the way, because he posts some funny stuff. He posted a quote by Henry Ford this morning, how fitting. It says, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right.
Yeah.
And so that's
Stewie Griffin
fitting.
Came up with that.
And then, I tell people lot of my athletes, you know, they come in, they're like, well, I don't know, or I can't, or whatever. And I'm like, why can't you? Like, just give yourself the opportunity to amaze yourself. Because a lot of the times you'll be surprised. You're so much more capable of doing things that you didn't know you were doing if you just give yourself a chance. Try it. Try new things. Give yourself a chance. But I always say, I'm like, give yourself an opportunity to amaze yourself. Mm-hmm. And most of the time it happens.
Yeah. It comes back to as well, like talking about having a big goal and then breaking it down. In an instance like that, as a coach, they say, I can't do that. And you go, okay, well, maybe you can't do that. But what piece of that can you do? And how many pieces of that can you do? And you might find it's only like this little piece that's scaring them. That's providing some amount of fear that's making them say that I can't do it. But really, they can do like 80% of what you're talking mm-hmm. about. They might say, I can't do a snatch correctly. And you go, okay, well, can you do any part of it well? And they say, well, I can do this part, but I can't seem to have it hit my hips correctly or hip pockets or whatever. And you go, okay, well, let's work on that little piece.
And it's usually like the teeniest piece.
Yeah, now, yeah, you have a solution. And now you break the fear, right? The fear loop is broken. And now you can get past it.
Last thing, negative people too. Get those people out of your life. Oh, I think that's the hardest thing to do.
Funny story, and I tell this in my nutrition seminar about having scheduled cheat days mm-hmm. and making sure that you do it guilt free. You know, if you do well, and somebody was like, "Don't reward yourself with food. You're not a dog." Get out of my face. Okay.
Way, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
I don't reward my dog with food.
I don't either.
They might not be right, but that's funny.
Shit, where was I? What was I saying?
I don't know.
Negative people.
You know what?
Oh, yeah. Cheat day, negative people. Look, if you're going to go have a cheat meal or a cheat item, I say cheat item, and you're hanging out with
that's
friends, and they're like, so I have my cupcake, you have your cupcake, and the girl beside me or the guy beside me is like, I really shouldn't have this. Oh my God, this is going to make me fat. Oh my gosh. Whoa, I shouldn't eat this. I feel so guilty. Shut your face. Get out of my zone, because I'm going to enjoy my meal, and you being a negative Nelly over here is really pissing me off, because I've worked hard for this and I'm going to enjoy it. So you need to pack your little cupcake up and go home.
pack your little cupcake up. Fuck
pack
off.
Your cupcake.
So, yeah, like, just don't do it. If you don't want it or shouldn't have it, then don't put it in your mouth. Like, just don't do it. I get mad about it. Don't ruin my cheat. I don't ruin it.
What tips would you have for people the person who's holding them back, like in training and stuff, is one of the most closest people to them, though? That also happens, right?
You can have a, you know, hey, look, if we're going to hang out during this time, it's my time. Be selfish. And I need you not to be negative. And it's just having a conversation and making people, one, aware that they're negative. A lot of people don't. And you don't have to be like, hey, man, you're a real dick. You don't have to do that unless
don't
you have that reputation.
But
you can
be, there's nothing wrong with being honest. Say, hey, look, I feel that that it would be helpful if you would get over these things. You can communicate openly and honestly.
They don't have to get over it. It's not your job to make them get over it. It's your job to make them aware that they are affecting you. Mm. And then how they want to deal with that is their responsibility.
Yeah, I like it.
But hey, look, when we're in our time, from this time to this time, we're having coffee or we're having our cake, I need you to hang up the negative words. And then maybe they might be like, well, man, I really am negative. You know, it's just an awareness issue most of the time.
And if they don't, you tell them, I'll step away. And
right. We don't get to spend much time together.
All right,
you're
at that point, I want to say thanks to heaven.
He's like, shut up.
To that point, I want to say thanks to Heaven 23 restaurant here at Gothia Towers in Gothenburg.
Gothenburg,
Sweden. And we're here, and they let us set up shop and drink all their coffee. Christmas has to go to a nutrition workshop at the Swedish Fitness Festival.
Actually, I'm throwing some barbells around.
Oh.
Boom.
We're doing barbells. Nutrition today too, right?
Mm-mm.
I'm so confused.
Just weightlifting.
She's going to kick ass.
Just weightlifting.
You can use this.
Right,
we're going to go lift some weights.
Slam some bars.
All right. Later.
This is Andrea Eger, and you're listening to Barbell Shrug. For the video version, go to barbellshrug.com.
Barbell Shrug is brought to you by you. To learn more about how you can support the show, go to barbellshrug.com and sign up for the newsletter.